Hi, ladies. My name is Trish Dietz, and it is a privilege, as always, to share this time with you. And today we're going to look at Revelation chapter 19. It's session 13 in your study booklet entitled, Let Them Rejoice. Wow, this chapter, it's all about praise and victory. Revelation chapters 6 to 18 gives us an account of the seven-year tribulation on earth leading to the judgment for sin and the rebellion against God. Now, we, through John's prophetic vision, were about to see and hear the worship, celebration, and triumph of Jesus, ushering in the long-awaited second coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ, the living Word of God, who humbly came to earth the first time to suffer and die upon the cross to save us. He's returning here for all to see, in the position and power that he's always held, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He will obliterate, by his word, all the powers of darkness that have come against him. Revelation 19 gives us a peek into this heavenly time of worship. In session 4 of our booklets, we were asked in our icebreaker question, what's our favorite worship song? Well, for me, many years, mine has been 10,000 Reasons for My Heart to Sing by Matt Redman. The chorus is, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and worship his holy name. Sing like never before. I'll worship your holy name. The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning, and so on. Well, ladies, there is a new day that will be dawning, and it's coming for certain. The events in this chapter, they set a dividing line, a turning point, the end of the tribulation period and the glorious new beginning of the millennial kingdom, the thousand-year reign of Christ that we'll read about next week. I love to know endings of stories. You know, back in my elementary, high school days, ever since I can remember, really, I would read the last pages or chapter of a book before I would decide to read the whole book itself. If it had a good ending, I'd read it. If not, if it failed my happy ending test, I guess you'd say, I'd pass and pick another book up. Well, now I can Google. Before I'd read a book, watch a movie or a TV series, I want to know what's coming, that I'm prepared for it. It used to drive my husband crazy, but now, as long as I don't share my findings with him, he's resigned himself to that's just something I like to do for my entertainment. The Bible, ladies, it has the best ending, a great ending, a perfect ending. It's planned from eternity past, and it is certain. It's an ending our hearts and minds should constantly go back to find hope. Really, it's the start of a new beginning, the way God intended. I love to think about that. You know, it makes difficult chapters of real life less tragic. There's never happening without a purpose. I want to focus on that last joyous, happily ever after. The title of this podcast today is Worship Like Never Before. Though we could personally cite the 10,000 reasons for our heart to sing, today we're going to focus on 4 from the text. Firstly, Jesus saves. From verse 1, after I heard what seemed to be a loud voice of a great multitude in heaven crying out, Hallelujah! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. The multitude was declaring joyful victory here. They're crying out, they're singing, they're rejoicing that the time of God's vindication has come. You know, it may appear at times that power, control has been given way and fallen into the darkness, but that's not so. God is and always has been on the throne. He's omnipotent, all-powerful. He has perfect knowledge and he is in complete control. He is mighty to save. Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. Reasons we have to worship today, Jesus saves. Every time the gospel's shared, there's an opportunity given by Jesus for the lost to be saved. an invitation to receive by grace salvation offered, forgiveness, hope. You know, Jesus saved me 30 years ago, and in a moment's time, he saved me from eternal death to eternal life. But every moment of every day, he keeps on saving me when I look to him. He saves me out of my weakness into his strength, from confusion to wisdom, from uncertainty to trust, from frustration to ease, from jealousy to contentment, from anxiety to peace, from being overwhelmed to the right perspective, from believing the lies to speaking truth, from worry to rest, from doubt to faith, from sin to forgiveness and grace. Jesus saves, ladies, one of the countless reasons for our hearts to sing. Another reason to worship, Jesus is victorious. Verse 2, for his judgments are true and just. He has judged the great prostitute who corrupted the earth with her immorality and has avenged on her the blood of his servants. Four times in Revelation 19, John writes hallelujah in response to what he hears and sees. That's what everyone's doing in heaven, saying hallelujah, praise the Lord, praising joyfully. All the cataclysmic events that we've read and studied in chapters 6 to 18, they've come to an end. The corruption on earth, politically, economically, morally, spiritually, it's been judged, and God has judged it based on truth and righteousness. And the response in heaven is a thunder of praise for the justice of God. Reasons we have to worship today? Jesus is victorious. You know, it's understandable that we feel times of discouragement, the trials, setbacks, the wicked prospering, wondering why the wrongs are not judged now. But you know, we can reroute the discouragement to praise through eyes of faith and in our trusting all to our loving Savior. To be singing hallelujah from the depths of our heart today that Jesus is victorious over my mind, the discouragement, the trials, sickness, conflicts, shortages, hurts, confusion, rejection, lost, uncertainty. Romans 8:28 says he is working all things together for our good and the good of those who love him and for his glory. He will redeem for his glory what he allows. I can trust him when it's hard to see victory or even purpose. What about when you feel wronged? Well, Romans 12:19 says, don't avenge yourself. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. I'll repay. When we're wronged personally or in the country, trust the Lord. Whether I understand the wrongs, the trials, or not, one day I will see purpose in what God allows. I want to have a yielded, trusting, settled spirit to be able to say it's well with my soul. I also want to be a warrior for Christ now in prayer and sharing the gospel. God is on the throne and I am his disciple. I'm his ambassador now here on earth. I want to be living righteously in him and victorious and joyful no matter what. I want to be growing, praising and investing all of who I am for his purposes in this lost and dying world. I want to be filled with awe and gratitude because I know one day I'm going to see the whole picture in heaven. But right now, by faith, I can be filled with that awe as well. I have reason to sing because Jesus is victorious and I am more than a conqueror in him. Another reason to worship? Jesus has prepared a celebration. Verse 7, let us rejoice and exult and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come and his bride has made herself ready. Oh, the sights and sounds of this celebration, the wedding banquet, the supper of the Lamb. A traditional Jewish wedding would have had three parts. The betrothal period, that's where the bride price was paid by the groom. That's salvation. We are the bride of Christ. Jesus paid the price for us by his blood, and he loves us. And he's gone to prepare a place for us, that where he is, we may be also. We're living in this betrothal period now. The second part is when the bridegroom returns for his bride. It's unannounced. It's so critical that the bridesmaids would be waiting with oil in their lamps, looking, watching. That's the rapture of the church. It's going to be unannounced. It can happen at any time. Jesus is coming for his bride, the church. At the trumpet blast, we will be taken up to meet him in the clouds. This is the next event on the prophetic calendar. And then thirdly, what we read about here in chapter 19 is the wedding banquet, the celebration, the marriage supper of the Lamb, where we will feast and be with the Lord forever. Oh, ladies, we have reason to worship today. He's robed me now with his righteousness. My best efforts, they're like filthy rags, but God sees me with the righteousness of Christ. Don't let our hearts grow weary or discouraged or hopeless in this world. Our hearts should leap with joy, anticipating this day of celebration. May we be watching, ready, and hopeful. And fourthly and finally from our text, there's reason to worship because Jesus is coming again. Verses 11 to 16. Then I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. The one sitting on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes are like a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems, and he has a name written that no one knows but himself. He's clothed in a robe dipped in blood, and the name by which he is called is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven, arrayed in fine linen, white and pure, were following him on white horses. From his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God the Almighty, and on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And then to the conclusion of this chapter, we read about what's happening in the Valley of Armageddon. That's the final conflict between God and all the forces of evil who are loyal to the Antichrist. The armies gathered here to come against and engage in war with Israel. You know, it had appeared that the powers of that unified darkness would prosper and march on to victory, but not so. There's a day of reckoning for all this. There's a moment in time coming when all the earth will witness the Lord coming back to the earth. At this point in history, darkness will be overthrown and cast out, and the enemies of God will be crushed, defeated. The beast, the false prophet, will be thrown into the lake of fire. Jesus is coming again. My Jesus, my Savior, he is coming again. The first time he rode into Jerusalem in peace on a donkey, our mild, meek Savior, his eyes were filled with tears as he wept over Jerusalem. A robe was placed on him in mockery, a crown of thorns driven into his head. He shed his own blood for the sin of the world, but now, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he's the warrior on a white horse coming with justice to judge, in might and power and majesty to rule and reign. He's got a penetrating gaze now. His eyes are piercing like flames of fire. There are many crowns on his head, signifying his leadership, his ownership, his sovereignty and authority. His robe is dipped in blood, likely bloodstains of his enemies. And he's coming to the earth with his church, with the saints, with us as his church. He's not coming to engage in battle but to declare victory by striking down the nations with his word. It's not a fighting, but a falling of the enemies of God. Things do happen on earth today that are ugly, evil, sinful, unjust, terrible, confusing, and unspeakably wrong. But our hope, our peace, our victory is and always has been in the Lord. Are you weighed down in any way, for any reason, ladies? It's time to worship. We have 10,000 reasons to sing like never before, starting now. God bless you.